Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Next, we open the phones for the fifth and final installment in Five Pillars Week, the Brian Lehrer Show's Ramadan Month series of interfaith conversations based on the five pillars of Islam. The five pillars are faith in one God, prayer, fasting, charity, and today's topic, the pillar of Hajj, or pilgrimage. The phones are open for your stories of pilgrimage, whether you've taken the Hajj to Mecca or have any other reflections on a spiritual pilgrimage you've taken, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692 for your stories of pilgrimage. And as we've done throughout this series, we'll reserve a few lines for Muslims since this is a Ramadan month series based on the pillars of Islam, but it's also an interfaith call-in, and anyone can call in to talk about the role of pilgrimage in your spiritual life. Last year's Hajj fell at the end of October. If you made the trip, give us a call. This year, it's expected to fall somewhere between October 13th and 18th. If you're planning to make the trip, tell us about your plans, what you expect, what the journey means to you. And maybe we can even pair you with someone who's made the trip, share tips about what it was like. 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692 for your stories of pilgrimages you've taken, pilgrimages you're planning, and what they mean for your spiritual life. And while the Hajj is a physical journey to Mecca required once in a lifetime for all Muslims who are able-bodied and who can afford to do so, there are lots of ways to interpret the idea of pilgrimage. In Christianity, life itself is a pilgrimage, a journey towards deeper understanding and a more perfect communion with God. But of course, there are also physical places that attract pilgrims in Christianity, Judaism, and many other religions. Perhaps one of the most famous trips to Mecca from America was that trip taken by Malcolm X in 1964. Prior to his trip as a member of the Nation of Islam, Malcolm X had famously referred to white people as the devil. The trip had a profound impact on him, though, and he wrote about the experience this way. There were tens of thousands of pilgrims from all over the world. They were of all colors, from blue-eyed blondes to black-skinned Africans. But we were all participating in the same ritual, displaying a spirit of unity and brotherhood that my experiences in America had led me to believe never could exist between the white and the non-white. And here's Malcolm X from a press conference upon returning to the U.S. from his pilgrimage.
Many white people will be on the side of Negroes. Many white people are fed up with what the Negroes suffer. And this is what I had to become aware of on my pilgrimage to Mecca. I could see then that there are many white people in this country who will side with the Negro in whatever he has to do to protect himself.
But that's a considerable change of opinion in Malcolm X.
No, today I'm speaking for myself. Formerly, I spoke for Elijah Muhammad. And everything I said was, Elijah Muhammad teaches us thus and so. I'm speaking now from what I think, from what I have seen, from what I have analyzed, and the conclusions that I have reached.
Then the white man is no longer the devil, and he is no longer bound to be evil?
Why judge a man by his conscious behavior? I am not a racist. I don't subscribe to any of the tenets of racism.
Then there are good whites and good blacks and bad whites and blacks.
It's not a case of being good and bad, good or bad blacks and whites. It's a case of being good or bad human beings.
That's Malcolm X in 1965 talking after his pilgrimage to Mecca. We're taking your calls of pilgrimage. The phone number is 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. A 2008 Harvard survey of those who completed the Hajj concluded that it, quote, increases belief in equality and harmony among ethnic groups. Those who have performed the Hajj show increased belief in peace and in equality and harmony among adherents of different religions. Does this ring true for you if you completed the pilgrimage to Mecca? Give us a call. We'll be back after the break with your stories of pilgrimage, and I'll play a clip of the photographer Annie Leibovitz from this show. She was on to talk about a book of hers called Pilgrimage, trips she took to places that were important in her life. We'll hear Annie Leibovitz on pilgrimage when we come back after the break. In the meantime, call with your stories, 212-433-9692. I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. We're taking your calls as part of Five Pillars Week. Today's topic, Hajj, or pilgrimages. As we've done all week long, we're saving some lines for Muslim callers, but this is an interfaith conversation. So if you have an experience of spiritual pilgrimage that you'd like to share, please also give us a call. The phone number, 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. I want to start with Mizbah in Queens, New York. You have completed the Hajj?
Yes. Hi, Anna. Thanks for taking my call. Yes, I did. I went for Hajj 12 years ago.
And what was it like?
It was really a profound experience. This is an experience that most Muslims really look forward to all their life. And when it eventually happens, you really are moved, even though you know what the rituals are, even though you know what to expect. Still, when you get there, it is a really moving experience that is very hard to describe in words.
Tell me, Mizbah, what you said you went 12 years ago. About at what point in your life was that? Were you a young adult? Were you middle age? Or
I was about 40 years old then.
And 40 years old. So this is something you had anticipated. Just describe for us, what was it like? Did you fly from Queens to Mecca?
That is correct. I flew from JFK Airport.
You flew from JFK, and then you arrive. And just walk us through what it was like when you first arrived at the airport and then were figuring out what to do next.
We took the Royal Jordanian Airlines, so it stopped in Jordan. And that is where, before you actually arrive, there are certain points that are called as miqat, which stands for boundary. That is where you have to change into two simple white sheets of cloth. So that's what we did in Jordan. And again, if I could just speak briefly, these two sheets, these of simple white unstitched cloth, they take out all the barriers between the rich and the poor. So a billionaire could be standing right next to a pauper praying, and no one could tell the difference who is, you know, who's rich, who's poor, who's what. So it removes the ihram, removes the social class right there.
Interesting.
Yes, and I really appreciated you playing Malcolm X's autobiography a little bit and also his clip. And this is what it is when you go there for people who are not used to it. You know, Malcolm X had said after he performed the Hajj, he said, Islam has the solution to America's race problems. And that's where he saw, you know, the white, blue-eyed, blonde-haired people dipping their hands and eating from the very same plate where the dark-skinned black Africans were eating from. So every time, as you know, when you dip your hands in the same plate, some of the food will fall off of your hand that you've been eating. And they really don't mind it. And they drink from the same cup. And he saw that there was really no racism at all the way he dealt with people. So the Hajj really takes out. Not only is it a profoundly religious experience where everyone is chanting, "Here I am, O Lord, you have no partner," but it also shows you, you know, there are people from Indonesia, there are people from Africa, there are people from the Indian subcontinent, there are people from America, there are people from Canada, everywhere.
All together in Mecca.
Well, in one place.
Mizbah, yeah. Thank you so much for sharing your story. Now, Sam in Hackensack, New Jersey, you had a different kind of pilgrimage.
The first time I made a conscious decision to make a trip to Israel as an adult, when I got to the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall, whatever you'd like to call it, which is basically the last remnant of the old temple, which was actually used as a place of pilgrimage in biblical times. There's a tremendous connection to the history and the culture of my people that you don't expect. I'm Jewish and I'm not a religious person, but there's a feeling, an unspeakable feeling that you kind of that takes you over when you're in a certain place.
So, Sam, you went thinking not necessarily that you were going on a spiritual pilgrimage, and then you felt this feeling of connection that you weren't expecting?
Yeah, it was really, I made the decision to kind of explore the country myself, and when I got to that location and you you think about what the history is, it's a deep cultural, it's a cultural and emotional response to it rather than a true religious experience.
Sam, thank you so much for your call. Santos in Park Slope, tell us about your pilgrimage.
Well, it's for a different place altogether. It's to the Shrine of St. James at Santiago de Compostela in Galicia, Spain. It began in the first millennium A.D., and it extends mostly all across the northern tier of Spain, starting in the Pyrenees, making your way practically to the Atlantic Ocean. It's about 800 kilometers, which is about 500 miles, and I did it with my wife and my son, who has special needs, last September. And it was walking between 12 and 15 miles a day up mountains and along paths and carrying a backpack. It was quite strenuous, and what it did for us, and we're not religious, but what it did for us, it really drew us together, and my son's special needs. First of all, everybody on the Camino was very accepting and thought he was just an equal, just regardless of what his special needs were. But we also became equal, my son, myself, and my wife. It was a drawing together. It was wonderful.
Santos, thank you so much for your story. This feeling of equality is an interesting theme we're hearing. Yavuz, you took the Hajj. You went to Mecca. You're in Neptune, New Jersey. Tell us about what you felt.
Well, this was a very intense experience for me and my wife. I went to Hajj 3 years ago with my wife, flew from JFK to Istanbul, and we wore the white garments, actually, in Istanbul when you start flying, because you had the intention to go to Mecca. And what really striking me was the high level of variety of different backgrounds, creed, whatever your level in the society is, whether you're the head of a country or a lay person, you're equal in the eye of God. And the most striking piece for us was you are actually playing a theater. You are sometimes becoming an Abraham, sometimes becoming a son of Abraham, Ishmael. So you have actually playing an act in Mecca, and you are doing different rituals. It's really really amazing to see all level and all different kinds of people united and just increasing their faith and bond. I was really impressed and was very emotional with my wife. We will definitely go again. And like you have beautifully mentioned what Malcolm X has done, I mean, he had a different perception and he changed totally in terms of his perspective, even though he was coming from difficulties in a society in terms of racism, he had a very different look after he went to Mecca. And that's what the humanity needs in terms of, regardless of what our background is, we need to respect first as a human to each other. That was my experience, and I truly appreciate NPR for letting us share this.
Of course. Thank you so much for your story, Yavuz. Now, Dana in Queens, you've had a spiritual pilgrimage, but you consider yourself religiously agnostic?
Agnostic to a non-deist. I think religion tends to, unfortunately, cause conflicts because it's centered on power. But I went to Delphi in Greece and stayed there the whole day. I went to just advance a little bit of myself culturally, but I ended up getting a conversion experience in a way because I realized there are some places, perhaps Mecca, perhaps Jerusalem, that are imbued with spirituality, and we can all reach that. It doesn't have to be through a particular religion or affiliation.
And tell me how you felt that. You said you weren't intending to feel that, and then what came over you?
There is something about the place, not the scenery, not the people around you, but the very essence of the place that had an incredible power to move one, at least me, and a few other people that I saw, if you just stilled yourself and was there to access it. It may be in all these other places. I have no idea.
Dana, thank you so much for your call. Henry in Fort Lee, New Jersey, you also had a sort of unintentional pilgrimage?
Absolutely. I was in Israel visiting some friends in Jerusalem, and I'm not religious. I'm not observant. My family, the same. And
is your background, are you Jewish?
Jewish, yeah, but completely non-observant and non-religious.
went there with a friend who actually is a rabbi. He also came from the same kind of background but became a rabbi. And we approached the Wailing Wall from three different directions over a two-week period. And I was being led around. I didn't know where we were. And each time that I caught a glimpse of it, tears flowed overwhelmingly and spontaneously. And I had no idea that this would happen. And it was really just like out of the corner of my eye, I would see it. And boom, it was like someone pressed a button. And I've spoken to people about it, religious people, non-religious people, and they say there's something about it you just can't explain. But, yeah, so that was my unintentional pilgrimage. And I'm going back next Tuesday.
You're going
taking
back.
My children, taking my children to see my father who lives there.
Henry in Fort Lee, New Jersey, thank you for your story. That concludes Five Pillars Week on WNYC, five interfaith conversations based on the five pillars of Islam. We'll post all five of these conversations as a special podcast on our website and on iTunes for you to listen back to this weekend. I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer. Back with more in a bit. But I got